Open your Bibles on the book of Numbers, chapter 6. As many of you know, we have been going through this series on what is biblical worship, and today we are on the sermon number 13. And we only have one more sermon on this series, which will be coming up next Lord's Day evening service. So this evening we're looking upon this last thing that we do in worship, which is the benediction. So the common text that teaches about the benediction, why we should do that in worship, comes from the Old Testament passage from chapter 6, from verse 22 through verse 27. As we read, remember this infallible word of God. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Thus far the reading of God's word. Lord, we ask you, Lord, now that you'd speak to us through your words. O Lord, give us to us, O Lord, hearts that are sensitive, O Lord, to the words that come, O Lord, from this scripture. Help us, O Lord, to look upon these words and understand all the blessings that we have, O Lord, as your children. And the blessings, O Lord, that you have bestowed upon, O Lord, all those who are called upon your name, who called upon your name and who are called by your name. O Lord, help us to see these texts and, O Lord, how important it is in our worship service and the promises that you have for us as a church. And, O Lord, and how to understand what the benediction is and what is the meaning, O Lord, for us as a church. O Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When a pastor, he looks out at the congregation as he pronounces the benediction, usually he sees many different things. Sometimes he look at some people and they have their eyes closed as he pronounces the benediction. Sometimes they have their hands standing like this as if they were receiving something from the benediction. Sometimes they're looking outside of the church. Sometimes the pastor can see that they have their minds somewhere else. But the question is why there is such diversity in the way that we respond to the benediction in the church. Why do people react in such different ways? And the question that we need to raise up this evening is, what is your view of the benediction? Why do you think that we have the benediction? What do you think that you are receiving when the benediction is pronounced to us at church? Moreover, we should also be asking, what is the reason for us to have the benediction in our worship service? Why do we do that? Is that something that we invented as Presbyterians? Is that something that we find in Scripture? Isn't that just something that we find in the Old Testament? Isn't that a priestly thing? Why do we do that? So we want to answer all these questions during this service this evening. After all, we should start answering this question first by asking, what is a benediction? William Plummer, he answers this question saying that a benediction is the ministerial and authoritative pronunciation of a blessing upon the people in the name of the Lord. So as we look at this book, the book of Numbers, this book starts on chapter 1 through chapter 5. What's happening here is that God, he tells Moses to take a census of the people, to know how many men were there able to go to war from 20 years old and above. Which of the men of that people with millions of people in the wilderness would be able to go to war? Why is Moses doing this? Because what's going to happen after chapter 6 and falling is that the people, they start moving and they are preparing themselves to enter the promised land. So they are preparing themselves to go to war. Because as they enter the promised land, what they need to do, they need to expel the people living there. They need to keep them out of their own country so they can take the land for themselves. So there's a preparation of war happening here. And then we find in chapter 4 and 6 that Moses, he starts talking that they would need not only to know how many people were prepared to go to war, but there was a consecration needed for that. So he talks about unfaithful wives. He talks about people who needed to be cleansed. He talks about the Nazarite and how the Nazarite was someone consecrated to the Lord. And then suddenly, after talking about that, because this chapter is famous about this, the law of the Nazarite, and suddenly at the end of this chapter, he starts talking about this priestly blessing. He talks about this benediction. And then we see on chapter 10, starting verse 35, that so it was that whenever the ark set out, that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel." So the preparation for the war starts. And then you see the people moving with the ark as they go and to enter the promised land and to get into war. So this text is very important for us this evening, because this text establishes the warranty for the benediction in our worship service. This is the first occasion in which ordained officers in the Bible, they were instructed to pronounce blessings on the congregation. So there are three things that I want you to see in this text this evening. First of all, is the authority to pronounce the blessing. Secondly, is the content of the blessing. And thirdly, how that blessing relates to us. So in verse 22 and verse 33, 22 and 23, we see the Lord speaking to Moses about what he has to do. And we need to be reminded here that bestowing blessings upon people is not something that starts here. But there is a transition happening here between the time of the patriarchs of Israel, where we see Abraham bestowing a blessing upon his children, and we see Isaac bestowing a blessing upon his children, and we see at the end of Genesis, Israel bestowing a blessing upon all his children. And so now we are told that the Lord wants the same thing to keep happening. But now those who are going to pronounce this blessing are not the fathers and the leaders of the households anymore, but are the officers separated by God to do this text. So this authority, as we see here, is authority that's given to a certain group. Remember, Israel had three offices in the Old Testament: the king, the prophet, and the priest. And this work and this text is given here to the officer of a priest. Those the priests there, these from the tribe of the Levites, and those who are descended from Aaron. And that's exactly whom the Lord is addressing here. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his son." So I need to understand that the priests were from this specific tribe of Israel. They had some duties as priests. Remember, they are responsible for the incense in the altar of God. They are responsible to take care of the bread in the presence of God. And they're also the ones responsible for the altar of sacrifice. So there are common duties that belong to these workers, these officers in the Old Testament. But one of their primary duties was to serve in the role of mediators. So they were to represent God before mankind, and they were to represent mankind before God. And that's exactly what they did. As they came and presented sacrifice from mankind to God, they're the ones, the men will bring the sacrifice, the people bring the sacrifice to them. They'd slaughter the sacrifice, and as the mediator, they would offer those sacrifices to God. But as also they represented God before the mankind, they had the duty and the job of being ministers of the word. They were the ones called to teach the word. We read, for example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 9, that the priests, they taught in Judah, and they had the book of the law with them. We have seen in Nehemiah chapter 8 here that Ezra, the priest, he was the one teaching the people about God. He was the one bringing sense to the words of the Old Testament and the books that they had at that time to the people of God. So one of their main duties was to teach the word of God. And see that the authority here for them to pronounce the benediction is an authority that comes from the Lord. And because it comes from the Lord, they cannot speak any something that they just want to speak. The implication is that if the Lord is telling them to say these words, when they pronounce the blessing must be in accord to these words. The blessings must follow the pattern of this word. So they cannot just make up something and pronounce them. And the proof of that is what we find in the New Testament. When we see the apostles and the writers of the New Testament, they pronouncing the benedictions, they pronounce the salutations. They are all very similar to what we see here. They are connected to what we see here. And most of all, we need to see that as the authority to give this blessing comes from the Lord to these men chosen by God to do this, we are to see here that the source of blessing doesn't come from them either. The source of the blessing is the Lord. Pay attention to what we see in verse 24, 25, and 26. The Lord bless you. The Lord makes his face. The Lord lift up his countenance. It's the Lord who is doing all these things. It's the Lord that's acting upon his word. Now, how does this information that I just gave it to you connect to what we do at church? How do we see this happening at church and in the New Testament? And the first thing that we are to be reminded is that as we go to the New Testament, this office of priesthood is fulfilled in Christ. Christ is the high priest. We don't have priests in the New Testament. We don't have priests in the church of the New Testament. Christ, he is the priest, the high priest who gives the perfect sacrifice. And therefore, there is no need for another sacrifice, and there is no need for any other priest, because the sacrifice is perfect. But as this office is fulfilled in the New Testament, we must also see that the duty to preach and to teach the Word of God is not fulfilled. And that duty falls on the eldership of the church in the New Testament. So the Word is still being taught. The Word is still being preached. One still needs to come and give sense to the Word as we find in Scripture. So these passages from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we find in the Old Testament how this benediction was used in worship. Look, for example, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 27. What's happening? There is a worship service. They are praising the Lord. They are giving Him thanks. And at the end of that worship service, the passage states that the Levites as a whole and as well as the priests, they arose and blessed the people. And this was done at the close of this corporate worship that we find in this passage when Hezekiah, he restored the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When we turn to the New Testament, we see the apostolic example. Out of the 21 epistles in the New Testament, there are only 5 of them who do not end with a benediction. And that is James, 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Epistle of John, and the Epistle of Jude. But all other ones, they end with a benediction. And why is that important? Because those epistles, they're written and they're read in the context of a worship service. Like, for example, Paul, he instructs the church of the Colossians in chapter 4, right there at the end of the book on verse 16. He says, now when this epistle is read, and the word there read is read aloud among you, plural, you all the people, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from the Laodicea. So you see, as they read these epistles in the church together, these benedictions, they were pronounced and they were received by the whole church. So we see this transition from the priestly office to the example of the apostles and to what the church has been doing from the beginning, finishing the worship service with a benediction. But see that this benediction doesn't stand by itself. There is a content to this benediction which is most important for us here tonight. First, we must see that this benediction is a benediction that's given corporately and also personal. You see, this benediction is given to all the children of Israel, but also in verse 24, 25, and 26, all the you there, they are singulars. So there is an aspect of this benediction that goes straight to you as a Christian, and there is an aspect of this benediction that blesses the whole congregation as the body of Christ. And what we learn from this is that God is not only concerned to His church in a corporate way, but He's also concerned to us individually. God, He looks after us. God, He's kind towards us individually. God, He wants to bless us individually, in our homes, in our place of work, in our marriage, in our families. There is a bless upon each one of His children that is given in this benediction. So He blesses us corporately, but also personally. And this benediction as well involves this aspect of the Lord blessing and keeping. This is the concept of blessing. This concept of blessing is a concept that would automatically be understood by any Jew when this book was read or these words were pronounced by Moses. Why is that? Because there was the promise already established by the Lord to bless his people. Pay attention to the words of the Lord in Deuteronomy 28. And how this is so connected to this blessing that we have here. On Deuteronomy 28, we find these words, verse 3 to 6. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. See, there is this aspect of the Lord blessing his people that covers all the aspects of our lives. Even when we think that he's not blessing us, he's blessing our walking in and out. He's blessing our work, what we produce. He's blessing our families. Every aspect of our lives is covered by the bless of God to his children. And that's the blessing that he has for you, believer. He's taking care of all the aspects of your life. And the same Lord that's blessing, he's the one who is keeping you. See, this word keeping, it's a reminder of protection. On Psalm 121, we are told, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. And those are things that we need to be reminded, Christians. That the same Lord that's blessing, the same Lord that gave us eternal life in Jesus Christ, is the Lord who is looking for your entire life. And is the Lord who is protecting you and taking care of you as a father does to his children. And that's the blessing that the Lord has for us as Christians. So the Lord is the one who keeps and blesses. But he's the one who also makes his face to shine upon you. But he's also the one that lifts up his countenance upon you. And these two words, they show to us God's real presence among us as believers. Remember, this word shines. It's a word that connects us immediately with Moses. Remember Moses, he would go get inside the tabernacle and he would speak to God and he would come out of there and his face was shining. Shining God's glory. And that's the idea here. That as we become one in Christ, we would be shining, receive this glory of God in our lives. And that we would shine his blessings and his glory on us as we live our lives as a Christian. So this idea of shining his face and lifting up his countenance upon you is this idea of God's presence. And the result of God's presence in our lives is grace and peace. This conjunction of these two words, we find them being repeated 18 times in the New Testament. Grace and peace. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. And that's mainly pointing to the work of Christ in our lives. As we are blessed, as the Lord shines his face upon us in Christ, as the Lord he lifts up his countenance upon us, we received the grace and the peace of the Lord. The grace of Jesus that gives us eternal life, that brings us to this state of blessing, that gives us this protection and this sense that God is very present with us. And the peace of God the Father. Remember, one of the main works of Christ as he makes atonement for us is to bring us together in peace with God the Father. Because until that point, the relationship had been broken. We couldn't approach the Father anymore. the Father's wrath was upon us, and he was angry at the unbeliever. But when Christ, he dies for us, and he reconciled us to God the Father, now we can come upon him. And as he looks at us, he sees one that has been blessed in Christ. He sees the one who has received the grace of Christ. And he receives us in his sight as his own children, one of his adopted children. And I hope that you have seen the connection here. The connection in the Old Testament and the New Testament of this apostolic blessing. Because in so many aspects we are living a life very similar to this. A life where we are being prepared to enter into the promised land. Where we are being consecrated to enter heavens. And to have the fullness, the perfection of the fullness that we are promised to have in Christ. We live a time of war. Where we fight this constantly war against the evil of this world. And the connection is very clear in the same way that God, he prepared his people to come out of Egypt. And he let them stay in the wilderness for 40 years. The church, the new Exodus that Christ initiates for us. We are living similar times. Times of war, times of consecration, and times that we need to know and we need to be reminded of the blessings of Christ. Of the things that we received in Christ. Now we see at the end of this passage on verse 27. The relation of this passage to those receiving the blessing. We need to understand that as these people, they received the benediction. There was a posture that we find in Scripture as they received this. Pay attention in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22. We're told in Leviticus 9, 22. Then Aaron, he lifted his hand toward the people and blessed them. You see, the benediction is different from a prayer. We are told in Scripture to lift up our hands as we pray. But in the benediction, which is not a prayer, the priest would come upon the people and he would turn his hands towards them as he pronounces a blessing upon them. We see in Luke 24, verse 50, Jesus repeating the same thing over there in that passage, where right before his ascension to heaven, Jesus, he lifted up his hand and blessed his disciples. And what is remarkable about this promise and the way that this blessing was given to the people is the promise that is attached to it. Remember, the benediction is not a prayer. It's not a moment that we close our eyes. Or a moment that we raise our hands as we are receiving something from heaven. It's a pronouncement of blessings and promises. So what does it mean when God says, "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them"? We see the purpose of this benediction that is that it ties the lives of these ones receiving to what the benediction is saying. We are going to have the name of God on us. Remember, every time that God, he talks about his name in Scripture, his name points to his glory. We read, for example, in Exodus 9, verse 16, "My name might be declared in all the earth." So as we live our lives and we carry God's name upon us, His glory is being carried and declared in all the earth. And that's the purpose of this promise, that God will be glorified in our lives. But this promise comes with these privileges. Remember to be called as one who received the name of God on them is, as we find in Scripture, those are the ones who are also called the special treasure of the Lord in Exodus 19. Those are also the ones that receive pardon from the Lord. David, he prays and asks in Psalm 25, Lord, pardon me, forgive me for your name's sake. The same ones that received the name of God upon them, they are the ones who received the guidance of the Lord. When we pray and we ask the Lord that to lead us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And there's a very similar idea with this benediction and what we do in the Lord's Supper. Why do I say that? Because in the Lord's Supper, what we receive there in that sacrament is a sign and a seal of something that we already had that happened in our lives. It's a sign of a seal of our union with Christ and how we become one with Him. So in the same way, when we receive the benediction upon us, it's not that every time that we receive that benediction, there is a new blessing upon us, but that benediction is confirming the blessing that we already had received in Christ. That we became one with Him, that we are called the blessed ones of the Lord, that we became part of His people, that we received His grace, that we have already received His peace. So every time that the benediction is pronounced, we are given a reminder. A reminder of the blessings of God upon us. A reminder of the protections of God upon us. A reminder of the presence of God in our lives. And it's so striking. The benediction is something such important for the church. That as we read the last chapter of the Bible, what we find there? A benediction. The Bible finishes it with a benediction. In the same way that we do every worship service. We finish the worship service with God speaking to His people. And sending them home and sending them back to their works and the things that they need to do in the week as they go to war, as they fight the evil things of this world, so that they can come back next week and be reminded again of His protection, of His love, of His blessings, and of His presence in their lives. And that's why that's the last thing that we do here in worship. So people can be reminded and care the word and bring back to their homes the word of the Lord with them. Why do we need the benediction? It's a daily or Lord's daily reminder that God, He loves us. We need to be reminded of that sometimes, don't we? That He loves us in a special way. That He loves us as a church, but that He loves us individually. That we belong to Him. That we are called upon His name. We are called Christians. That He bestowed His name upon us. That the Spirit of God has shined upon us His presence. That He has given to us the grace and the peace of Christ. We, brethren, we daily need to be reminded of that. But there is nothing more gracious and kind from the part of God to remind us of that truth every Lord's Day. Let us now pray to our Lord.